You're listening to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales.
Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, the princess, she walked happily home. Tra-la-dee-dee-hi-dee-ho, she lived happily ever after.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What the Folklore, making sense of senseless tales. I am your storyteller, Carmen.
I'm your crime weaver, Tyler.
I'm Gordy, the Shadow Chancellor.
So, Shadow Chancellor, what's our purpose here?
What are we doing, Shadow Chancellor?
So, as Shadow Chancellor, I do exactly whatever the one in Britain does. Because they do have that. That's a real thing. And I don't know what it is, but I do it. Right, so that's my job.
That's an interesting thought experiment.
Yeah, think about that. But in a very concrete sense, here on this show, Carmen is going to read a fairy tale to Tyler and I. We're going to choose one that does not come up in discussion very much. It's going to be one that Tyler and I have never heard, hopefully one that you have never heard, and we're going to discuss it as though it were written yesterday, taken out of all historical context.
I may treat it as though it is currently being written.
Yeah, we
and
might
can be changed.
We might treat it as a spec script that we are being pitched by a young and upcoming Hollywood writer. That's our prerogative.
They were washing our car yesterday and they put a manuscript in our hands. Alright, so you guys have reached the end of your three choices. We are now reading The Lass Who Went Out at the Cry of Dawn from Scotland.
You ruined my game.
What?
I was going to see how many distinct words either of us could remember from that title.
You'll remember it now, but we can still play it with Gordy.
Okay.
Wasn't listening.
Gordy, what are we reading today?
I was not listening. I don't know.
How many of the words do you know?
Can you
remember?
None.
Okay.
Some I know it's from Scotland.
Okay.
Is Mary one of them?
Nope. It is not. Keep guessing.
It's about some woman who...
What's another word for woman?
Who wove a magic basket out of reeds.
Ooh.
Do you have one of those?
No, I do not.
Well, let's start looking for one.
I'm sure it's out
there.
This
is another theory that I want to test.
If Gordy's, like, secretly accessing
the future?
Well, the collective unconscious and other people's knowledge of fairy tales that exist in the world.
I mean, sure, you could say it that way. I was going to say, if the world is the never-ending story to Gordy. And when he says things, they become true.
Gordy's here fighting the nothing. That's why he's the Shadow Chancellor.
That is what the Shadow Chancellor does, yes.
He fights the nothing. All right. Well, you did get the gender of the character correct. Do you have a Scottish word for woman?
Bird.
Dame.
True.
I mean, yes. Young woman.
Millennial?
Leggy broad.
Tyler, you stop guessing.
You're talking about a lassie.
Shorten that.
Shirley. Right?
Yeah, but shorten it.
Just
shorten
an
lassie.
L, just L period.
What are your favorite letters in lassie?
You're talking about an ass.
I think that's close enough, right?
The ass who went out at the cry of dawn.
I remember what we're reading now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can you repeat
The ass who went out at the cry of dawn.
All right. So this is from Women, Folk, and Fairy Tales, edited by Rosemary Menard in 1975. I should know how to pronounce this guy's name by now, but we all know I'm not a professional. Sorsnik Leotis. Sorry, Scotland. I know this guy's a big deal. Oh, this is a lady. LeClaire Goins Alger was an American author better known under her pseudonym Sorsche Nick Leotis, or Sorsche Leotis. She was born in Youngstown, Ohio. So,
okay.
Just throwing curveballs at us, huh, LeClaire? I can pronounce LeClaire. this imaginary Sorsche, whatever, was a storyteller, seeking out traditional Scottish tales that had never been written down before. So.
And that's one of the ones we have tonight.
Well, I was wrong about this person all the way around. I just knew that Saoirse Ní Chaoimh was on a lot of the Scottish tales and just assumed that they were Scottish. But this is what you get when you assume.
Now let's be all the way wrong all around the story.
All right, let's mess this one up. The ass who went out at the cry of dawn.
Good start.
Once there was a lass who went out at the cry of dawn to wash her face in the morning dew. This was to make her bonnier, and then she never came home again.
Excuse me?
She went out to wash her face at the cry of dawn in the morning dew in order to make herself bonnier.
Prettier. Is that the whole story?
Prettier. And then she didn't come home.
Is that it?
Yeah, I figured we could...
That covers everything in the title.
We could weave an episode from that sentence.
It's a cautionary tale.
Don't wash your face in dew. You don't know where it's been.
Don't the dew. Take that, Pepsi.
Her father searched for her. Her mother wept. But all the searching and the weeping didn't bring her back. The weeping came close.
Close to what?
Bringing her back. The searching did nothing. Everyone knows.
I know that you're joking, but that is, like, terrifying magic to me. Like, you cried enough to, like, see your missing daughter again, like, a visage, but not hard enough that they became, like, corporeal again, and then they vanished.
You cried enough to rip a small hole in space-time to see where they are.
Right.
But you have no context.
Cannot reach them.
Right. That's how weeping works.
And it just made you sadder, but you're already out of tears. The saddest thing of all.
Being wanting to cry but not being able to. You start crying from other places. That's the problem. Like, if they can't come out your eyes, it will come out. But somewhere else.
Fingernails.
Boy.
Oh, guys, I think you're going to get excited. You ready for this?
I'm ready to be excited.
She had a younger sister. The younger sister loved her dearly and said she would go herself in the wide world and go find this lass and would not come home until she did.
Does this girl have an eye patch?
Not yet.
And a gravelly voice. Mother, father.
Is she Solid Snake?
Hand me a knife.
Is she played by David Hayter?
I will bring bring my sister back.
Or the guy's name who voices Geralt.
Their father,
don't know that one.
From The Witcher.
Yeah, don't know that actor.
Their father gave her his blessing and a purse with a piece of gold to help her along the way. Good job, Dad.
Why are we going to be excited?
Is it a big piece?
Her mother also gave her blessing.
And
made up a whole packet of things for her to have. Because the mom, like, she can weep a hole through time and she knows what to...
I feel like I might know what's happening.
Carmen, just give us the drop.
In the packet was a bobbin of yarn.
Yeah.
A golden needle.
Yeah.
A paper of pins. A silver thimble.
I really hope I'm right.
And a wee sharp knife done up in a white towel.
There it is. And then in the secret compartment, there were some fake passports, cash, a couple of handguns.
A pen that's a laser?
Yeah, a pen that blows up boats. So, and she told her daughter, this is what, the stuff on the top, that's what they expect to see. The stuff in the secret compartment, this is the shit you need.
Okay, remind me to bring this up if I don't during the discussion, but we need to talk about the generations of the church.
Right, because, yeah, I was going to bring that up too, because mom knows what to do. Dad is useless.
Dad says gold is good enough, and mom says, nah, you'll need this.
Here's a nickel.
A single piece of gold?
Yeah.
Is that a lot, though?
Well, we don't know how big this piece is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's probably...
Can it be chiseled?
Like, gold, I think in fairy tale times, gold is gold, right?
It's decent, although I think it's hard to make... It's like the bank teller giving you a $100 bill. It's like, well, dang it, what am I going to do with this?
I mean, it's a start. Which you got, so if she invests it right now, maybe she'll see gains as she goes.
Thank you, Father, for insuring my robbery.
So she wandered for days, and then someone told her that there was a wicked wizard who lived on Mischanter Hill, and he was known to steal young maids away. So it might have been him who took her sister.
So wait, why didn't they look there to start with?
Well, maybe they don't know. She had to go and hear the gossip.
Mischanter?
Yes. Mischanter Hill.
Is that different from an enchanter?
Yeah, they miss.
That's the only difference?
Sure.
Is that they're bad at it?
Yes. That's why he has to steal young maids away.
Ah.
Because he can't entice them with his magic.
Can't magic them.
He tried to pull some roses out of a wand and hand them to somebody, but ended up exploding the wand, and now he doesn't have eyebrows, and also she's a frog.
So he's more of a mind freaker than a sorcerer.
Sure, yeah. So now she knows where she's going, and she makes it to Mischanter Hill, and she sees that this is going to be a hard climb ahead of her. The road is steep and rocky, so she sits down on a stone to rest before she moves on. While she was sitting and resting, a tinker body came along. Which, yeah. I think is just a tinker. I don't know why.
A what?
A tinker. It's called a tinker body, but I think just a tinker.
Which is?
You haven't heard of tinkers?
A tinker?
They're like wandering salesmen, repairmen.
A tinkerer?
Yeah.
Sure.
The tinker body was between the shafts of a cart loaded with pots and kettles and pans, lugging it himself. He stopped when he saw her and wished her a good day. She says, "Locks." Because Terry Pratchett wrote this, apparently. "'Tis a wearisome task doing the work of a horse." And the tinker agrees and says he has no money to buy a horse, so he's got to be his horse. He's a self-made tinker.
Indeed.
She says she has a bit of gold that she had never had any need for, and it's doing no one any good in her pocket, so take it and go get a horse.
Her dad sneezes somewhere.
It's like, my dad gave me this useless thing.
This
you can have it.
Piece of shit.
I got a knife. I don't need this.
I was going to rescue my sister. What do I need money for?
Am I going to buy it off the evil enchanter or whoever?
Something tells me this wizard is not going to take bribes.
Probably not.
That are, you know, that are one gold piece or less.
Please, Gordy, we've established he's a mind freaker.
The tinker took the gold and says, "I've been pulling that load for such a long while, and though I've met many people on my way, no one has given me so much as a kind word before."
It's called the free market, asshole. Don't complain that nobody's buying your shit. Sell better shit.
You gotta compete.
No government handouts.
"If you're going up to the wizard's castle, here are a few words to take with you. What you see and what you hear are not what they seem to be. Also, you should probably just go back because the wizard's definitely going to enchant you if he can, but I doubt you're going to listen to my advice there." He's seen the steel in her eyes, and also her hand.
Yes.
She thanks him and says that she won't listen to that, and then goes up on the hill.
"You're right, sir. Enjoy the gold."
Sure, yeah.
Not sure how to pronounce this, and neither is Google. But she gets about halfway up the hill when she sees a poor ragged Bodak sitting by the road with his clothes all in tatters and patches. He was pinning them together with the thorns, but the thorns kept breaking and making him start all over again. So a Bodak is like a poor man or a ghost, apparently. One or the other.
Mm-hmm. A transient.
It's an old man, rustic, churl, lout in the Scottish Gaelic pronunciation, which is just it's a bunch of symbols I don't understand.
So. He's using thorns as a zipper?
As, like, pins to hold his clothes together.
But not well.
No, they're breaking. "Locks," says the lass. "'Tis a wearisome task to mend with thorns. I have a paper of pins that are pretty useless to me and everyone in my, like, general vicinity. So, here, you can have them." So the poor ragged Bodak took them and said the same advice as the tinker. And then gives her some more words to take with her. "Gold and silver are a match for evil. Also, you should just give up and go back." She thanks him and ignores him and goes ahead and reaches the wizard's castle. She knocks boldly on the door, and the wizard himself opens it. She recognizes him as the wizard himself because there was such evil on his face. But he did speak politely and asked why she'd come to his humble abode.
So he's got a mustache.
snidely whiplash mustache.
Yeah, it's all twirly and greasy.
She says she's come to get her older sister back, and he invites her in, offering to see if maybe you can find her in here.
I have a few of those. Which is yours?
It's like going to the pound.
Pick out a sister, any sister.
Which one you want?
He takes her into a room and shuts the door behind her. She looks around the room, but there's no sign of her sister, so she sits down to wait. She hears flames crackling and the room filled with smoke, the flames spraying at her from the walls, and she could feel the heat. Locke, she says, the castle's on fire. She's about to spring from her chair and run when she remembers the Tinkerbody's words and realizes it's probably just magic.
It's an illusion.
So she sits down and ignores the fire and it goes away.
Mm-hmm.
She hears her sister's voice calling and weeping and yelling her name. She jumps from her chair to find the sister, but she remembers the Tinker's words again.
Oh, his other words.
Realizes this is still probably just magic, and then takes a bobbin of yarn and binds her arm to the chair to keep her safe, for no matter how hard she pulled, the yarn would hold her fast. The voice quieted down, and she uses her knife to cut herself free. The wizard comes back and is surprised to see her sitting there in an unhappy state, and tells her to come with him, and maybe they'd find her sister somewhere else. As there were lots of maidens who came from here and there to his castle, you know, vacation spot.
My wonderful abode.
I had nothing to do with it. They just come, just like you.
They wander in and out.
So she'd have to pick her sister out for herself. They go to another room that has nothing in it but 7 white statues, each of which was in the image of her sister. The wizard has a terribly wicked grin on his face and says, hey, pick her out and you can take her along with you.
Yeah.
The lass walked up and down, but all the statues were identical. She sits to think for a moment, and then she remembers the ragged Bodach's words about gold and silver. She takes the silver thimble out of her bag and slips it on the finger of the first statue. The thimble turns coal black. So she tries it on the rest one by one.
Mood thimble.
The thimble stays black until the last one, which makes the thimble shine so bright it dazzles her eyes. She says, I'll take this one. The statue turned back into her sister, and the younger sister took her hand, and the two leave the room, down the hall, and then leave the castle. When the wizard sees that they're getting away, he nearly burst with furious rage.
Where did he go?
He was just too busy grinning, like, she'll never get this.
I assumed that he was watching...
The thimble test?
The thimble test.
Oh.
Was he just so taken aback? That they just walked out on him?
He didn't expect her to have any success in this, so he's watching her do a thing that doesn't make any sense. Like, ladies, whatever.
Women.
I'm too wicked and clever for this.
Mm-hmm.
So he bursts with a furious rage and uses his magic to send a fierce wolf after them. The sisters run until the older sister can't anymore. Lump of
useless. Not worth saving.
Yeah, the older sister is dead weight.
The younger sister remembers the Bodach's words again, and she whips the golden needle out of her pocket and turns to face the wolf, snapping and snarling, and it's ready to leap when she thrusts the needle between his eyes, and he dinged down dead.
He dinged down dead?
He dinged down dead. The wizard shrieked with rage and came flying at them with his black cloak spread like wings. The lass had only her knife left and no more words, so she had to make do with a knife.
She had to stab this motherfucker.
That is a badass thing to say.
I have a knife, no more words.
I have a knife and no more words.
We need to translate that into Latin.
That's a good crest.
She pulls it out of her packet, but somehow it got tangled up with her mother's and father's blessings. When the wizard got close enough, she aimed it at him, and the blessings carried it straight to his heart, and down he fell. While they caught their breath, they hear a great rumbling. The castle's rocking to and fro, and then it turns to dust in a heap on the ground because it was made of the wizard's magic.
It was all illusion.
And he's ding down dead, too.
You know who else is ding down dead? Every woman in that castle.
Oh, yeah. All the ones who are still there. Whoopsie.
The sisters walk down the mountain, and they came across a fine young man, all dressed in the best of clothes. He says, "Hey, you won't remember me, but I'm the ragged Bodak who was under the wizard's spell to mend my clothes with thorns until the end of time. But now I'm free, thanks to you."
Yo, wizard, that sucks.
That's just a petty...
What an awful thing to do to a person.
This is an extremely petty curse.
Fuck you, wizard.
The three walk down the hill together and find a fine young man standing beside a grand shining coach. He says, "Hey, I used to be the Tinker Body, and the wizard also laid a spell on me. But now I'm free."
Mm-hmm. What was his spell?
To
be a bad salesman.
Just to suck?
Yeah.
To not sell his crap?
Yeah.
The wizard made me Willie Loman.
So the four get into the coach and they drive home. And so the younger sister brought the older back as she said she would. The older married the fine young man with the pins, and the younger sister married the tinker body, and they all settled down together happily all the rest of their days. The end. So I think it's clear we have a definite new Church of the Knife member.
Sure.
Yeah. I was a little worried that she was not going to use the knife for anything. When she killed the wolf with the pin,
she had to save it.
Right, but she did use it. That was like my one reservation. Mm-hmm. Was I think the knife has to come into play, mm-hmm. and it did.
I think killing a wizard with a knife counts as a knife miracle. Like
knifing a wizard in the chest and killing him to death. That is the miracle you need to get into the church.
I ding dong deaded a wizard.
With a knife enshrined with my parents' blessings.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Is this the first... Well, we should probably just get into discussion. Let's do that.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Music, go here.
I have no problems with this. End of episode.
Okay.
I do definitely want to see this woman, like, having faced all these trials, you know, for film, we'd have to up the drama a little bit. This bat wizard's coming, shrieking down on her, and does, like, the typical villain monologuing thing, and she looks back at him and is like, "I have a knife, and I have no more words." And she flings it at him. I think that is the epic climax that a good folktale film needs.
Can the series of films based on the Church of the Knife have James Bond titles? Or James Bond-esque titles?
Pitch them.
This one would be Ding Dong Dead, Another Ding Dong Day.
No, that's lame as hell.
It's too long.
I don't think
this
Ding Dong Dead as a title for this movie.
You don't think that's a good slogan for the poster?
I mean, maybe as a tagline, but as a title, I think it undersells how badass this lady is.
How about Ding Dong Don't Fuck With My Sister?
That's pretty good. This does need the full theatrical treatment. Mm-hmm. That is my first priority, is making sure that this gets made the right way. So, do we want to do title?
What?
Do we want to, like, settle on a title and everything?
Yeah, because the last who went out at the Cry of Dawn is a useless, pointless character.
Also not relevant.
She's the MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Title character, not important.
We gotta give this lady a name. She deserves one.
Yeah, she doesn't have one. She doesn't even have, like, a moniker.
For the purpose of our Church of the Knife thing, her moniker is going to be Wizard's Bane. So we got Raven Girl, we have Robber Girl.
Well, Raven was Raven Pain.
Raven Pain?
Raven Bane.
Raven Bane?
Was it?
Yeah. All right.
They can't all be Bane.
Why not?
They're not all Bane of things. All
right.
They're good things, too.
So she does need a title.
Chill-ass mofo. But they all are. Unanon is the only one who has an actual name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have Robber Girl, Raven's Bane, and...
Locks.
Locks. Locks. Yeah, she does say locks a lot.
What?
She says locks a lot.
This one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
It's her catchphrase.
But with an X.
Yeah, sure.
Makes it more Tom Clancy dangerous.
Casting.
Charlize Theron.
Was she already in one of these?
Maybe. She's who I think of first when it comes to chill knife throwing.
A stunt lady.
Tricky. There are kind of like a couple go-to actresses for this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. This is a shame. There need to be like a larger range.
Yeah, there should be more. Like right now, I feel like if you want like a woman to do an action movie, you get Charlize Theron. You get Scarlett Johansson. Now you get Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm. You will.
Angelina Jolie. Still in the mix.
I don't know if that star has burned out or not.
Maybe not anymore, but for a while she was there, right?
Yeah.
So I think we get an unknown actress and
an up and comer.
Yeah.
To debut the role. I like that.
And then we start like a new squad of badass, basically real life Church of the Knife actresses. Charlize Theron would be in the Church of the Knife, though.
Who embody the spirit.
This is the Knife Cinematic Universe Phase 2.
Yeah. Yes. Who else we need to cast? Wizard?
Mm-hmm.
Chris Angel?
What's he up to?
Right? That is a possibility.
I think if you looked into Chris Angel's face when you opened the door, you'd be like, yeah, this is an evil wizard.
I thought you were going to say you would want to stab him to death.
Maybe. I say this, I don't know if you ever saw the Crossroads movie, not the Britney Spears one.
Okay.
The other one?
No.
No, with Ralph...
Neither.
Is and it Macchio I only or Macchio?
I only knew that the Britney Spears one existed.
How do you pronounce Ralph?
Macchio.
Macchio? Not Macchio?
I think it's Macchio.
Whichever one. You didn't see that one?
Mm-mm.
Well, it's basically like a remake of The Devil Went Down to Georgia, but with guitars instead of fiddles.
Uh-huh.
And at the end, Ralph Macchio has to like play against Steve Vai as the devil,
uh-huh.
or like as the devil's henchman. And I think Steve Vai could play this role very well too. You should look up that scene
specifically,
if you want a reference point for this. It's very cheesy.
That counts as an audition.
Yeah, it's kind of not that good, but there it is. Do we need the parents?
We might want the mom. I don't think we've met this mom before.
No.
So you wanted to get into like generations of Church of the Knife people?
Right. Like this felt like this came with a letter that had an insignia on it and instructions of what to do.
Yeah, like that towel was engraved.
Yes.
And the knife is engraved.
That towel had a logo on it, as of yet designed.
I've got it mostly designed. I just got to, like, pop it into Illustrator, clean it up. It involves a knife where the hilt is the bottom part of the female gender symbol.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying this isn't one we've met?
I don't think so, because we don't have that many on the table right now.
But this is a time period where word has spread.
Yes.
And it has become a secret society.
Like, Una Nana already has her kids.
Uh-huh.
And is also wrong part of the world.
Yeah.
Robber Girl is traveling the world, and I still can't see her settling down.
Nah.
Or weeping about her useless older daughter getting stolen by a wizard.
Spreading ideology.
Are you saying the mother is a Church of the Knife member?
I'm thinking she was at one point, at least.
Like, if she was, wouldn't she just go out and do the thing?
Her time has passed.
Like, maybe it's time maybe to pass fallen.
The torch.
Yeah.
This is a
torch pass, if ever I've seen one.
Yeah, that's true.
This knife has killed a wizard before, and it will kill a wizard again.
Where's Raven Girl from?
Germany.
And where is this from? Is it Scotland?
This is Scotland. It's possible.
It's possible.
Although
but...
I think the mom missing a pinky might be.
Yeah, it might be something might that they would mentioned. Point out. Well, I don't know. We'll just say she's a woman in the same spirit.
Yeah.
That could be played by any of the aforementioned actresses.
Somebody in the know, at least.
Yeah.
We might eventually find a potential knife mom.
It's like that scene in one of those movies where Tony Jaa bumps into Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And it's like the passing of the torch, right? It's that. The Protector? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
One of those movies. Who knows?
It could also be that she had been considered at one time and was not worthy of the knife.
But had hopes for her daughter?
Yes.
She had heard the gospel of the knife, and she believed it, but her soul was not strong enough.
It was not in her heart.
She was not one with the steel.
No.
She didn't have the will of the warrior. She didn't have what it takes to stab a flying wizard in the chest.
When that time came, I let him take my sister.
And that's why she's so upset about this one.
You are one with the steel.
You, my daughter, I have hope for you.
She doesn't want to make the same mistakes twice. She doesn't want to let another family member get taken by a wizard. So she sends her daughter out with her best tools to get it done. I mean, it's really, we need the girl, we need the whatever her name is.
Yeah. It's very personal.
And we need the wizard. Like, that's really it, right? Everybody else is ancillary.
Sure.
Directors. Writers. Do we need to talk about that?
Who has the vision for this one?
Who has the vision? I had a thought earlier. I don't know. I'm not getting struck by anything.
Patty Jenkins, maybe?
Who?
The Wonder Woman director? Yeah.
Maybe.
Who made Babadook?
Jennifer Lee?
Because not this one, but one of these should be Babadook-esque.
Jennifer,
in tone, at least.
Jennifer Kent?
I think.
Dang it. So close. Jennifer Kent.
I don't know. Which one do you think is better suited for the franchise of the knife?
Third suggestion, the woman who made Zero Dark Thirty.
I don't remember her name.
Fourth suggestion, Sofia Coppola.
Was the last thing that she made? What's she been up to?
Something that did, like, fantastic at Cannes.
Mm-hmm.
She won, like the best director. She was, like, one of, like, the only women to have ever won this award at that festival. She's around. She's doing work. I'm just trying to think of, like, good, women working in film who have done good works.
Yeah.
She's La Traviata, The Beguiled, A Very Murray Christmas TV special, The Bling Ring, Somewhere, Marie Antoinette.
Are you talking about Sofia Coppola?
Yeah.
I mean, she's done a lot of good stuff.
Lost in Translation.
Yeah.
The Virgin Suicides.
Yeah. She does not need to prove anything to anybody at this point. Who else? Anybody else? I know there are other good women filmmakers out there. They're just not coming to mind.
I had a question for the both of you.
Yeah.
In regards to this one.
Yeah.
Is this the first instance of us seeing, like, the freeze frame subtitles, this is what happened to this character after this story?
I don't think it's the first one.
You mean after they have completed their knife mission?
Yeah.
Like, where are they now?
Right.
What are they doing? I don't think so. I think it's the most
complete one.
Mm-hmm. Because, like, they've typically been happily ever after, but...
Like, Unanana ended with all the people in the village giving her stuff to thank her.
Yeah.
And then them feasting on elephant for days.
Right.
Which is pretty happy. But it wasn't, like, a full life turnaround.
Yeah.
Robber Girl, of course, ended on, I have a horse now, and I am off to spread the good word. And maybe I'll rob your town one of these days and stop in on you.
She seems like, is she the first?
She's the first.
Yeah, like, she is the progenitor.
I think that story is also a little older in the timeline, too.
Even if she is not, even if she is not directly related.
She's the forerunner.
Like, even if she isn't, like, the founder, like, an active participant in the church, the legends are about her.
Right.
So yeah.
She influenced someone, and whether she personally went down to Africa and,
to recruit
and taught Unanana the power of the knife, her word spread
mm-hmm.
and reached. So far, that's the farthest from where Robber Girl started, that we found a knife member.
Yeah.
Probably probably not the farthest, but so far.
We don't have...
Also not yet.
That's the next step. Maybe we gotta have one from each, like...
a rep?
Like, major region, right? We need one from Europe, one from Africa, one from Asia, one from the Americas? Australia?
Yeah. And I think Ravensbane, didn't that one just end with, like...
She got her brothers.
Yeah, she successfully got her brothers back and they went
home.
Yeah. Yeah, so this is the only, like, marriage ending that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, where we suspect that a member could be procreating actively.
Who has
not even necessarily that, but
Una Nana's daughter might learn Church of the Knife principles from her mom's escapades in saving her from an elephant's belly.
It would be hard not to.
If she's got the right stuff.
Also, that cousin might... Although, I don't think the cousin has, like, the fortitude that she needs. Like, unless it is taught to her, she is not inherently a Church of the Knife material.
Because
she cowered and hid and could barely tell the mom what happened. So, if we see... like another South African young lady just killing it with a knife.
Just killing it.
Might be Una Nana's daughter.
South Africa?
I think that's where Una Nana came from.
Talking about, like, South Africa?
I think Una Nana was a South African.
South Africa? That kind?
That's the one.
That's the one. Nelson Mandela? Jacob Zuma, currently, survived another vote of no confidence tonight. There's a little bit of geopolitics for you.
Yeah, and a South African.
Okay.
Just don't want to, like, misattribute it to the wrong country.
Trevor Noah. I think one of my clients.
The South?
He's from South Africa. One of my clients, I believe, is from South Africa.
Why are you just listing the people and...
your familiarity with South Africa.
I don't know. Seems worthwhile, right?
Gordy is knowledgeable of some people...
what's all the stuff I can think of that
...who have once or currently do live in South Africa. Now everyone can be rest assured of his worldliness.
That movie with Matt Damon?
Well, moving on.
If the premise that this world is the never-ending story to you holds true, then all of those things are already true.
What?
By virtue of you saying them.
What do you mean? Oh... The never-ending...
Yeah.
My never-ending chancellorship.
Yeah, because you just said it out loud, so now it's in the book.
Trevor Noah can thank me for his whole identity, his whole shtick.
All right, we're going down a dark path with this, so...
your nationality is a shtick.
Does anyone have anything else to add about this story or the Church of the Knife? And not about things we know about South Africa, Gordy?
I would like to see this movie.
Yeah, me too.
I'm good.
All right. So thank you once again to all of our Patreon sponsors and to you, our listeners, for continuing to put up with our nonsense.
Yep. Good and thanks.
Find us on the internet in places. I also have a new Twitter feed or new Twitter handle. So that's on our Simplecast website and it's at Carmanda Arts. Slightly more active than my old Twitter handle. We'll see how long I maintain that.
Certainly more than either of me or Gordy. You're probably more active than I am.
I'm on Twitter all the time.
Tweeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so follow us and yell at us. Tyler's more active on our What the Folklore Twitter.
Sometimes.
We go through bursts.
Yeah. I give little shotgun bursts of activity, I guess.
But yeah, continue throwing this at your friends. We're working on some art for this. Eventually t-shirts and stuff will be out for Church of the Knife things once the initial wave of deadlines for the three of us passes. And thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Douglas.
Thanks, Doug.
We're What the Folklore. That's how it works. Tra la di da ha di ho, da ha di ho, tra la.
tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, happily ever after. Tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, da-ha-di-di-hi-di-ho, tra-la-di-di-hi-di-ho, she'll live happily ever after.
This has been What the Folklore. Thanks for listening to our show. If you have any feedback for us, you can leave it either by Gmail or Facebook. Our Gmail account is wtfolklore@gmail.com, and our Facebook page can be found at facebook.com/WTFolklore. Feel free to send in stories if you have any particularly odd pieces of folklore or mythology that you would like to hear us talk about. Special thanks to the Brobdingnagian Bards for the use of their song Happily Ever After from their album Brobdingnagian Fairy Tales.